The interesting thing about being a shy person and watching, being the fourth person to speak, you can watch your adrenaline peak and ebb at least four times while the other presentations are going on. I come from Boston. I'm not going to talk about the Boston program. I want to talk about what navigators actually do. And from a very simple point of view, namely, what would you see if you sat in a room and watched a navigator navigate? I get a sense from listening to presentations from Moffitt and from Denver and Chicago, there are different models for doing navigation. We've noticed, and you look at the literature, definitions of navigation vary widely, how it ought to be and how it actually is. That complicates our ability to interpret the relationship between navigation and outcomes of care. Like, we're seeing some evidence that navigators work. To make some broader claims about does navigation work, one needs to characterize what navigators are actually doing and find some patterns in that activity. So that's what we set about to do. What I'll describe is actually a very large-scale qualitative study. We're using the PNRP as a laboratory. This is one of two laboratories we're working with, the other being a set of 40 navigation programs funded by the Avon Foundation. Within PNRP, we're studying eight independent sites. Each site is doing its own thing in terms of navigation. You've got a flavor of that so far. Each site has a particular local definition of navigation and the navigator's role. They focus on different cancers. They focus at different points in the cancer care spectrum, from screening through treatment. They assign navigators different specific responsibilities. But it provides a nice and rich opportunity to describe variation in what they're doing. Our method, we did direct observation of navigators at work. Across these eight settings, we looked at nine navigation sites. One site being divided into two because of what we thought were significant differences in the sub-sites. I can't name sites for some political reasons. We observed 2 to 7 navigators at each site. The observation protocol was qualitative and quantitative. That is, we sat and watched navigators at work, we wrote field notes, and we codified what we noticed. And we did that every 15 minutes. We watched navigators for 2 to 7 hour observation sessions, and for any given navigator, we had multiple observations. The actual form we used had a single page. The bottom of the page had this matrix on it. The top of the page was space to write narrative field notes. This is a codification scheme we developed in prior qualitative work, that a navigator could navigate with a patient, could facilitate for a patient, could do activities related to maintaining a system across all patients. The navigator could engage in documenting her activities or reviewing medical documents, or she could do something else. Navigating with a patient was also divided into two subcategories. That navigation with the patient could be what we call synchronous or asynchronous, namely having a direct conversation with a patient on the phone or in person, or asynchronous, messaging, writing letters, leaving voicemail. And the navigator could interact with the patient, a medical provider, other staff members in a clinical setting, support services and support agencies, and we included in that category family supports, and EMR is the electronic medical record or any other medical record. The data analysis I want to present is primarily the quantitative data analysis. That we scored each 15-minute interval with respect to the presence or absence of those 16 codes. The blocked out squares, we didn't code, they can't happen. You can't navigate with a specific patient and with the provider. Although you can accompany the patient when seeing the provider, but you're working with the patient at that point in our scheme. So there are the white cells with navigating with the specific patient are number 16. Each interval was summed to, the intervals were summed across observation sessions, and we calculated to account for different observation sessions at different lengths. We standardized to rates per hour. So we have each, imagine each observation session is a rate of any one of these 16 activities per hour over a 2 to 7 hour time frame. And then we try to aggregate these sessions using object cluster analysis. I realize object cluster analysis may not be too familiar to many of you in the audience. It's basically a simple mathematical technique for aggregating objects in multidimensional space. Similar objects have similar profiles across these 16 observed rates. Dissimilar objects have different profiles across these 16 rates. Summarizing the data we had to work with, we observed in 9 sites. We observed 2 to 7 navigators in these sites. The number of sessions we actually observed ranged from 8 to 26. They range from anywhere from 8.1 to 18.3, 15-minute intervals, and ranging in hours from roughly 2 to 7. These are the frequency distributions of the 16 codified activities. You'll notice that the most frequent activities are navigating either directly or indirectly with a patient, those are the top 2 bars, or interacting with the medical record, documenting what the navigator is doing, or consulting the medical record. And then moderately frequent next to that are facilitating with the provider, or facilitating with the staff on behalf of the patient, or facilitating with supports. This is the results of the cluster analysis. What you get in the cluster analysis is a tree diagram looking at mapping out similarity between objects. Across the bottom, if I can still talk, are 133 observations. Little tiny brackets, and you really can't see, are very similar observations. They are joined at higher and higher levels of aggregation, and by essentially a visual inspection confirmed with some simple rough analyses of variance, you can, we've led us to define that there are essentially 5 discrete clusters represented here. They have different profiles of activity. These are the means of the codified activities within each cluster. Cluster 1 involves a high level of navigating asynchronously with the patient, namely the navigator's leaving messages, sending letters, and she's also documenting her activity in a medical record. In pattern 2, there's not so much interaction with the patient, but she's doing a fair amount of facilitating with support services. In pattern 3, she, most of these navigators are female, she's navigating asynchronously with the patients, and she's also interacting and facilitating on behalf of the patient with providers and with staff and maintaining the medical record and doing an awful lot of interacting with the medical record to documenting her activity. In pattern 4, there's a lot of direct interaction with the patient and little else, a little bit of support service navigation work, but the dominant activity is face-to-face or direct interaction with patients. And in pattern 5, nothing really dominates. This is what I just said, a verbal summary of what I just said. So we have 5 patterns, indirect patient-focused, frequent interaction with patients, more what we're calling network-focused, little interaction with patients, but relatively greater activity facilitating care or supports, patient and network-focused pattern, this like pattern 1 plus frequent facilitating care with providers, care, clinic staff, and supports, direct patient-focused, and a pattern with nothing dominating. Some examples. This is the field, rough summaries of the field notes from observations within a particular pattern. This, this is an example of a navigator worked with 7 patients over, over 3 hours of observation. She sorted through case files. She placed calls to each of the patients that she, one by one, she worked through the files, reaching 3 patients on the phone, leaving messages with 2, one of whom does call back during the observation session. She reached disconnected numbers for 2 of them. The conversations involve ascertaining the patient's plans for follow-up appointments and leaving messages to remind patients to follow up. In 2 calls, the patient indicated a problem, such as her doctor left the practice, and she has not identified another doctor for follow-up for her inaugural pap smear. And the patient navigator encourages the patient to resolve that problem. There were non-completed calls to prompt non-completed calls prompted her to send no contact letters to remind patients to call her. And she documented her activities in counter forms and tracking files, but she had no direct contact with the medical record. In pattern 2, she worked with 9 patients in 7 1/4 hours. She sets herself up in a conference room with a laptop computer and a stack of files and a telephone. She reviews each case one by one. I have 3 minutes. Talks with 3 patients on the telephone, leaves voice messages with 1, has no answer by 2. She confirms transportation problems, the chemotherapy appointments. She updates the radiology and surgery appointments for another patient. She interacts with support. She sends a lay health worker down to talk to nurses about appropriate skin care for a patient being treated for breast cancer. She instructs the caretaker of a disabled patient around obtaining prescribed medication. She calls an agency to find out about the availability of wigs and scars for another patient. She interacts with clinic staff. She expedites delivery of a radiology report to a surgeon. Oftentimes, reports get lost in these systems. She updates the status of malfunctioning radiology equipment that interrupts patient scheduling. And then she spends 1 3/4 hours visiting with staff of a potential referral source for new patients. In an example from pattern 3, we watched her for 3 hours. She worked with 21 patients. She shares an office with a radiology coordinator at a community health center. She reviews lists of patients with recent mammography appointments and on her desktop tickler. She accesses medical records at the hospital and at the community health center. She copies results from the hospital onto the CHC medical record and then flags those records to the PCPs to draw their attention to them. Otherwise, records don't get noticed. She calls patients with pending appointments, produces appointment letters. She calls patients with missed appointments and reschedules with the radiology clinic. She calls patients with non-affiliated hospital to get their reports from their chemotherapy visits. Whoa, I went too fast. How do we get back? And I'll try to go through this without messing up again. So in the example of pattern 4, 4.5 hours, she worked with 4 patients. This is the one who's a pattern of direct patient contact. We followed her during her tour of duty that day, her shift. And I also work for the VA, and I speak in tour of duty sometimes. En route from her hospital office to a clinic where she works with patients. A distance of some 35 miles. She takes a call from a patient to change appointments with the clinic and with her. She gets to the clinic. She meets with a patient and the patient's grandmother, explains her role in the navigation study. She discusses transportation with issues with the patient. Her car doesn't work, and she has complicated backup transportation, namely trying to schedule backup transportation with her grandmother. She discusses reasons for missed appointments. The patient expresses that she's baffled by a healthcare system and loss of insurance. The navigator promises to follow up with her. She meets another new patient, a new study subject. She enrolls the patient in the study, collects intake data for the study, discusses patient questions about a recent pap and reasons for a mammogram. She schedules a radiology appointment. She offers support to the patient. And she takes a call from another patient needing explanation of what her doctor said about recent preoperative visit and explains what the surgery is going to be about. We're starting to notice, as we identify patterns, variations in these patterns by site. This is why the sites aren't identified, but there are 9 sites. They vary in so far in how activities happen. In site A, it's largely dominated by pattern 3, which I apologize for not having names. But it's the pattern of indirect patient and network-focused pattern. So a lot of messaging patients and dealing with others in the network, providers, staff, and supports. Whereas pattern 2 is very common in sites C, G, and I. Pattern 4, direct patient contact, is fairly prominent in sites, in 3 other sites. And in one site, there's a fair amount of direct interaction with patients and a substantial amount of time waiting for patients and time with the patient, the navigator is essentially waiting for an assignment. I think we can identify discrete patterns of activities. These patterns may vary. They certainly vary by local context, by the design of the navigator's job, the location of the navigation of the organization, either the table of organization, where she sits in the workflow, where her responsibilities sit in the workflow, and where she physically sits, in the clinic or across the street or in a central research-related office. We hope these findings will inform some subsequent analyses that may inform the study of relationships between program settings, actual activities, and the effects of patient navigation. And my name is Jack Clark, and I have nothing to disclose.